This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
One day, some of the kids from the neighborhood carried my mother's groceries all the way home. You know why? It was out of respect.
This is Dirt and Spray.
Most important thing in business is honesty, integrity, hard work, family. Never forgetting where we came from. See, you are what you are in this world. That's either one of two things. Either you're somebody or you're nobody.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A month from now, this Hollywood big shot's gonna give you what you want.
Too late, they start shooting in a week.
I'm gonna make them an offer again with you.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Me, I always tell it to you, even when I lie. So say goodnight to the bad guy. Come on. Last time you're going to see a bad guy like this again.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2 and YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. Good morning. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We got our statter story to get to at 8:15. We got a FUP date at 8:30 to get to today. Got a fun animal fact for you. I don't really know what Dirt's theme is. It's
just all over the map.
Place.
Yeah. All over the map. I got no theme.
And God knows what sport Swag's going to give us an update on. You can never be fully prepared for the Swag FUP date.
What random factoid are we going to get from European cricket?
Women's golf, lacrosse, European cricket, Korean volleyball. I don't know.
It's all over the map.
Darts, maybe.
Ooh, I'd love a good darts update. Darts is electric in Europe, man. You ever watch some? Oh, darts. Oh,
I wonder if they got that World Championship darts there in some beer hall in Budapest.
That would be fun to go to.
Sign me up.
A random sporting event that I would love to go to, a darts match.
Everybody's drunk, including the competitors.
And so now you are going to Budapest. Now
I think if I'm getting darts, I think I'm going to Budapest. I think you flipped me on that one.
We will talk with Bill Conley at the bottom of the hour. He's got two articles out. One is the SP Plus early peekaboo of college football season.
The best teams for next year.
And he fixes the playoff problem.
Oh, we fixed the playoff problem.
Oh, did you not see this?
I did not see this.
Wow,
no, I'm very excited.
Following the former commissioner of college football.
I'm ready to fix the playoff problem. Let's fix that thing.
I actually agree with him, and he kind of agrees with a lot of what we've talked about with the playoff of let's reward the good teams with a home game.
Yeah.
And stop giving automatic bids. Most of these teams will get in anyway.
Yeah.
It just feels very, woe is us. Oh, I'm the best conference. Give us more. And it's like, why don't you earn it?
Yeah.
And I couldn't agree more with him. So we'll talk with him at 7:30 today. Also, I think because it's 7:15, we're going to do a random top 10 list. I think he's providing us the top 10 college football coaches. I'm hoping. according to the SP Plus.
I'm model. Fascinated to see where that ranks right now.
If he did it, I threw it at him, and he was like, "That's really interesting." Actually,
are we going to get an ESPN article shout out from Bill Connolly, S&P Plus top 10 coaches?
Unfortunately, when these happen for us, we don't get the name shout out.
No,
we're
we
referenced
don't.
As I did a hit in Portland.
Yeah. Pate just stole the pucker meter. He uses the pucker meter. Never a hat tip. No shout out. None of that. Come on, Pate. You're better than that.
Yeah, why can't we just get like, hey, my guys out west, Dirt and Sprague, do a great job.
Pucker meter.
They have the pucker meter.
Pucker meter was ours.
West Coast people care about football.
We are. We're out here. We're loud and we're proud.
Give us some damn love already. there's a lot of intel. By the way, poll question going up. If you were Cooper Flagg and money was no big deal, where would you rather play next season? Washington, Charlotte, Duke. Should I add a fourth team?
Ooh. Who else would be a terrible
organization?
Utah? Yeah.
Utah
who wants
Jazz.
To go? Yeah. No thanks on that one.
I'm voting Duke.
The hardest part is for that whole debate is that will there be any sort of different circumstances for Washington, Charlotte, or Utah next year?
Probably not. Danny Ainge will try to suck again.
He will.
And we'll continue
he
to
He wants the
him.
Great white hope yes. in Salt Lake City desperately. He's going to do whatever it takes to get Cooper Flagg.
Won one championship, and everything the guy does
guy's
is the most
genius,
amazing
man.
Thing ever.
Guy's a genius. And so that's the that's the hard part. It's like you can I don't know if you know this, but the teams at the top of the lottery again next year in the NBA, guess what? They're going to be really bad organizations. You can't really avoid that as the number one overall pick.
If I made you the general manager and Tom Brady is your owner, what would you decide to do in the draft? I'm finding just every day more and more this very interesting. I also...
The Raiders are going to go get Aaron Rodgers now, man. They're bringing him to Vegas. Devontae Adams are teaming up. Crosby's fired up. An immediate threat in the AFC West.
I don't think they're going to go get Adams again.
They're going to go get him again. Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, back to Vegas.
Well, but I'm finding the Cam Ward thing real interesting. He has clearly separated himself
yep.
from Shador and Jackson Dart and the rest of the quarterbacks.
Or is that a smokescreen?
No, I think it's pretty clear. He's this interesting to me, man. We have so much evidence that he's a good football player that I understand some of the criticisms of him. I do. I would acknowledge those are real. I think you could do that to every player that's ever come into the NFL draft.
Without a doubt.
But hasn't he fit the pedigree of the quarterbacks that have been successful recently?
Yeah, mobile, extends plays, accurate,
experience,
played a lot of football, he's seen a lot of defenses.
Yeah, he's been off the radar and worked his way to the radar, and then he's been put on the biggest of spotlights and delivered.
He's had to struggle. It hasn't just been a cakewalk for him. He's had rough seasons, rough games, ups and downs.
Like, how do you separate, I guess I would ask general manager Dirt, even with the warts, as we could give warts to everybody, including Jaden Daniels last year.
Yeah, you can give a wart to the guy who I would take number one overall, Abdu Carter. He might need a screw in his foot.
I guess, is it just like a guess? And
yes.
It's like,
yes.
No, but like your opinion of Cam Ward, are you just guessing that you don't think he'll be great? Because the pedigree of Cam Ward the same as some of the other guys that we've seen be? Bo Nix is a good example of this. Mm-hmm. I still have questions about Bo Nix in the next 5 to 7 years. I cannot argue with what year one Bo Nix was, and that was a success.
He was very good.
Jaden Daniels, I had questions about him going into the draft.
So did I.
But I loved him.
He was outstanding.
And man, it was even better than I thought.
Yep.
Caleb, I still like Caleb a ton. The Bears just made a trade. They've made a couple moves on the offensive line. They got Jonah Jackson out of the Rams,
mm-hmm.
and they just got Joe Tooney from the Chiefs. They're adding offensive line stuff. But it wasn't a great year one. Are you guessing on Cam Ward, or is it legitimately in your own football brain, huge red flags, can't be franchise guy?
It's not huge red flags, can't be a franchise guy. I think it's just the thought of, with the number one overall pick, how would I feel about taking that guy with the number one overall pick? And I do wonder how much of the conversation around him, like, let's take a step back for a second. If you put Cam Ward, and maybe your answer is the same.
Mm-hmm.
If Cam Ward was a year older, and he was in last year's draft class, where would he have fallen in that mix for you? Because he wouldn't have been ahead of Caleb.
So did he have this season?
This would have been his season in Miami. This would have been his year. He wouldn't have been ahead of Caleb. Maybe for some he would have been, but for NFL draft boards, I don't think he would have been.
Wouldn't have
been ahead of Jaden Daniels. I wouldn't have had him ahead of Michael Penix. I would take Michael Penix over Cam Ward.
Okay.
So then it's a debate between Bo.
I would have had
Cam
him in the
McCarthy, May, right? So then you're in that category.
I would have had him in that Penix, yeah. Nix, May, McCarthy, and people can differentiate.
So this is my own. This is one of my arguments that I make, and I just think it's not necessarily as much as a Cam Ward thing as it is. I just think this draft class is really bad for quarterbacks.
But if he
just happens to be the de facto number one, and if he was in a different class, I don't think he is the number one. Doesn't mean he can't be good. Doesn't mean he can't have a good NFL career.
Yeah.
He very well could. A lot of guys who I didn't think were going to be good at the next level have gone on to have great careers. We're all guessing with this stuff.
Well, yeah, we are. We definitely, including the people in the decision-making process. Yeah. But how many... Okay, so take last year. I hated that they did Brissett, but they did Brissett, and then they eventually give it to May. And
yeah.
May shows some fine stuff. I thought he had some good moments, but like I also think we
act it's a bad
like
team. He's got nobody to throw the ball to, and 100%. He did fine.
But we also, people talked about him as if he threw 420-yard games. I just, how many teams, if Ward is in the May, McCarthy, Knicks, Penix conversation...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe he isn't number one ahead of Caleb or Jaden, but like, does that matter? It's not his fault that the class sucks.
No, it doesn't. It's not his fault,
so
and
how
it
many
doesn't
teams
matter.
Would take the Drake May of the world.
Sure. The only reason I make that argument is you're talking about the value of the number one overall pick in the draft. And that's the only reason that I bring that up. Is that if you had two or three of those guys from last year's draft class,
is there
in
a
this
big
draft,
difference between value at one and three at this point?
I mean, you got the entire field to choose from if you're Tennessee. Yeah. So you got the world is your oyster.
But
this isn't the seventh overall pick. You absolutely need a quarterback. Of course you do. The only reason that I argue that is that if this was a team talking about taking Shador or Cam Ward with like the sixth overall pick,
mm-hmm.
yeah, dude, take a flyer on a guy. I argued that last year with the Giants. Why would you not take Michael Penix when he's on the board and said you took Malik Nabers and he's got nobody to throw him the football?
Right.
Now what do the Giants need to do this year? They got to take a quarterback. So I argued that further down the board. To me, though, there's just such a value in the number one overall pick, whether it's even trading the pick. Tennessee needs a lot, man.
The intel.
They need a lot of stuff, yeah. And Cam Ward's not going to change anything in the short term. That's a hot take I will give you. I don't see him having the Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix type of rookie year.
I still have that paper in my backpack.
They have an unproven head coach, and we went to Tennessee last week for the Daily Ticker, and they were like, dude, this team sucks. They got a lot of stuff that they need. And so you're throwing – this to me is like Bryce Young going number one overall to Carolina. Bryce Young could be good in the NFL. He might be. I didn't view him as like, dude, that's the guy you got to take with the number one overall pick.
You have Cam Ward and Bryce Young
in your mind? I have very similar feelings about both of them. And if they go to the right fit, if you put the right pieces, you could say this about any quarterback. But when I'm just looking at having that pick with that value, and one of the options on the table is trading back and getting more stuff, as in more first-round picks to plug holes, that to me is more attractive than is taking Cam Ward with the number one overall pick.
So, and I, you know, the intel out of ESPN is Jeremy Fowler and Teron Davenport are reporting that the Titans are leaning more towards trade, especially if it's a team that's quarterback desperate. The Giants might be the team that says, we want to get ahead of Cleveland here.
So I get the third overall pick in this year's draft and maybe a first next year?
I would kind of assume that would be the trade, right?
I would take that trade in a heartbeat.
What if it's a swap in like a second or later and not a first round for next year? Because teams are also...
I need more than that. There would have to be more. Like, give me a couple of twos, there would have to be more than just a swap and one second round pick.
Hmm.
Because then you're moving back and I'm not getting an extra first round pick out of it.
Quarterback makes the other team more desperate.
And I don't know if a team will do it because we all made fun of Carolina when they did. You're like, wait, what? Carolina's trading all that for the number one overall pick to get Bryce Young? And look how it worked out for Chicago. And they moved back to 8. The next year, Carolina had the number one overall pick, and that's what allowed them to draft Caleb Williams.
It feels like it largely... Who was the last one that we did the trade stuff for to get one, and it worked? Maybe I'm playing revisionist history here. It feels like the teams, when they trade up, it ends up like not really panning out.
There's going to be one that I forget. The three that jump out in my mind, not just number one, but moving up to get a quarterback, would be Bryce Young, obviously, in Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
The Carson Wentz Eagles trade.
Mm-hmm.
Was he number one or number two?
I think he was.
Because Goff, both LA and Philly traded up in that draft.
I think
can't
he was
remember.
Two.
And Goff went number one?
I think Goff was one.
So those were the other two. And Goff has gone on to have a good career, and he got LA to a mm-hmm. Super Bowl at the time. And Wentz had an MVP caliber season before everything collapsed on him and he lost his confidence.
Yeah, he was 2016's number one overall player.
Okay, yeah. So those are the two. And so you could say at times they worked out for their teams, but in the long run, LA decided to move on. Philly and Wentz obviously moved on, and we'll see what happens with Bryce Young. Maybe there's one out there that I'm not remembering off the top of my head. Nice to see Bryce Young have a resurgent start. The one thing I'll give Cam Ward that I do like about him as opposed to some of these other guys, I think one of the biggest red flags that I have for quarterbacks coming out is guys who have never failed. guys who have never struggled. That's a big concern for me because I don't know how you're going to handle it.
Everybody, you don't think Cam Ward has struggled?
No, that's what I'm saying. The opposite. I'm saying a guy like Bryce Young was the number one quarterback in high school, went to Alabama, and yes, he didn't win a national championship every year, but it was a lot of winning. It was a lot of like, hey, we went 11-1 every season. But for Cam Ward, he came from a small school. He went to Washington State, had to fight his way through. They had okay seasons, but kind of collapsed. Last year at Miami, had disappointing losses. He's been through ups and downs, and that to me is more attractive than a guy who has just had a red carpet their entire runway.
I'll be fascinated to see what team makes the trade.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to trade out.
And I think that's a smart move for Tennessee. In a draft where you're not sure who the clear-cut number one overall player is, I bet Jacksonville wish they traded out instead of taking Walker a couple of years ago.
Well, and then Kirk Cousins, a Titan.
There you go. Bring him to Tennessee.
Bridge quarterback. We have more college football I want to get into. We got Bill Conley at the bottom of the hour. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
Take me out to the ball game. What are you doing? Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Bill Conley's going to join us. SP Plus College Football. The Beavers spring football practice started yesterday.
Yes, sir. Saw Malik Murphy out there in his uniform.
It's real. It's real. He's here.
Dude, good for the teams that aren't canceling their spring games. Play the damn spring game. What are we doing? Oklahoma canceled theirs. Oklahoma, really? All that money? That university?
Don't poach our players. Don't poach our players.
You got a good program or not? You trust your ability to retain your players or not? Go play the damn game. Gerald McCoy lit them up, and fans got really upset with him. He was like, dude, when I was at Oklahoma, it was a massive deal for the guys who won or up and coming who didn't get a chance to play a game the year before. The guys who don't often get a chance to play on Saturdays to showcase how they've grown. It's an opportunity to play a game in front of fans, which doesn't happen in a normal scrimmage or a 7-on-7 setting. This idea of, one, players are going to get poached, stop being a coward, or two, we don't want guys to get hurt. Do you not play contact in practice every day. This new wave of canceling this game is driving me nuts. I'm a spring football guy. Stop taking my games away, damn it. Oregon's going to sell out Autzen at the end of April, and I'm jacked for it.
Swag, I need you to actually do this and not shake your head. I need you to pull that entire cut from when Oregon cancels their spring game.
I'm going
to
be livid, dude. Don't do it.
This is the wave it's going. It is developing into that.
I mean, there's four teams around the country that have done it, so I don't know if it's a wave.
Let's name the teams, though. They're pretty big programs.
They are, and they're all cowards. They're all cowards, and I'll call Dan Lanning a coward if he cancels their spring game.
Why would you do that?
Because it's stupid.
He's a top 10 coach.
We'll get to the list here in a moment. He is a great coach. I'm not saying you can't. Like, Steve Sarkisian is a top 10 coach. He canceled their spring game. Yeah. I'm not saying you're a bad coach for canceling the game.
Well, their point is
I just don't
valid,
agree
though.
With the logic. I don't agree with the logic
Why?
At all. Guys are going to get poached off your roster no matter what. Do you think assistant coaches are only hearing about what happens at a spring game and don't have sources on the ground of other players? Hey, this guy's a good player. Like, this idea, Dabo even said this. He was like, you don't think guys are going to get poached if we cancel the spring game? All of my roster will be intact after the spring. There won't be anybody that wants to leave. So what the hell? We're going to play the spring game. Good for Dabo. I don't agree with him often.
But it is moving towards more of an NFL camp thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Fine, have an NFL camp in the summer, too. I don't care. It's a big deal. Go play games or go scrimmage and have camp in August as well,
yeah.
Which you always do. The idea of canceling a spring game is dumb, and it's cowardly, and it's fearful. And wow. You look small when you do it.
I didn't have that on my show sheet today, Dirt being that
I can't wait
up.
To
I know
watch.
You like it, but...
I can't wait to watch like six players get poached off of Nebraska's roster, even though they canceled their spring game. How could anybody know about him? It wasn't like they were four-star recruits coming out of high school and we had all this film. Like, you're still going to lose, guys. Look, the easy fix to this is to change when the transfer portal stuff happens. Having a winter transfer portal and a spring transfer portal is dumb.
Isn't that
it's
Rule's
chaotic.
Point, though? Rule is
yes.
doing this to hopefully make the change.
Like
so
Matt Rule at Nebraska canceling his spring game is going to get the NCAA, which moves at the speed of a glacier, to change their transfer portal rules.
Don't they arguably have the best attended spring game
yes.
in college
That's
football?
That's what Charlie Baker's waiting for. Oh, my God. People in Lincoln, Nebraska are upset right now. We got to change the transfer portal window. Matt Rule. Not happy with the setup. It's dumb. You have your transfer portal after the season's over. Don't have it in the middle of the playoff. None of these kids go to school anyway, so have it, terms be damned. Have it when the college football season wraps up, and then that's it. You have your free agency, spring football begins, and then we can get back to normalcy. But I can't wait to watch Texas, Oklahoma, I believe USC and Nebraska are the four that I know about that have canceled their games,
mm-hmm.
and I can't wait to see all the guys that hit the portal after the spring window. I cannot wait.
I need you to do me a favor then.
Yeah.
I want you to really keep an eye on those four teams.
I will.
To keep track of it.
I will keep a track on who transfers out.
Because I will acknowledge this. I'm not one that's ever
And
cared.
For them to all, by the way, go poach players from other teams too. Like USC's not going to add anybody else in the portal?
Well, he acknowledged
Texas
that.
Is done. Oklahoma's not going to add anybody.
I don't think
Nebraska doesn't need any more players.
I don't think they're saying they don't poach.
So
I think
you like
saying.
To go watch other spring games and poach players, but God, no, we can't have our spring game. No. Oh, no. Your third string running back's going to have a carry for 12 yards and somebody's going to call him and offer him $1 million.
Pretty sure there's a promo in this entire segment.
I mean, I just gave you a lot of good material
just like
there.
Six, yeah. seven straight minutes of Dirt being angry about spring football.
I love spring football, man. I don't care. Make fun of me all you want. Laugh at me all you want. I love spring football. I think it's a really good opportunity for your young guys to get a chance to play a game-like setting that they only get one opportunity to do outside of a normal game. It's the only chance you get all year. Play in front of fans.
I don't want to just turn my mic off and let you keep going. I feel like you got a lot in there.
I think I've emptied the bag. I think that's all I got.
Have you?
I think that's all I got on that topic.
Jeez.
I saw the Gerald McCoy thing the other day because I didn't know that Oklahoma had canceled their spring game.
Thought the bag was empty.
And he was like, dude, what are we doing, man? Why are we canceling this game? What? Spring game was a huge deal in Norman. A lot of guys, that was their only chance to ever play in front of fans because a lot of guys are walk-ons and they don't get that's the only chance that they get. And we're taking that away from them. The guys who got to grind away on practice squad day in and day out. You get one chance a year to go return a kick in front of 80,000 people and it's a big deal. Take it away. Could lose our backup wide receiver.
In seeing Malik Murphy, though, in the Beaver helmet at day one of spring festivities down at Oregon State, because that's largely what Oregon State's been. It's festivities. I don't
yes.
even like to call it a game. It's a weird thing to watch. But it's the important thing is the practice, the development, the rhythms, the, you know,
chemistry,
the chemistry
yeah, timing
that.
On routes yeah, for quarterbacks, wide receivers.
That's where that matters, especially for teams like Oregon State that don't largely play like full spring games traditionally the way other programs do. I was wondering, and just seeing him in the helmet, they've got pieces. I like Gundy. I am biased, admittedly, because he's a nice dude. But like, I like kind of what I saw offensively with a functional quarterback. I think that offense is going to be okay and good.
Mm-hmm.
They brought Kavanaugh back as an O-line coach, so the O-line should be okay.
Yeah.
And they've got Hankerson back as well. I was kind of wondering the ceiling of the offense and what it could be.
Not to mention their top two wide receivers coming back too.
Right.
Clemens had some nice games later in the season. Mm-hmm. Walker had a really consistent good year, so bringing those guys back was big. I felt bad at times last year for Gundy. Not only is he a friend of the show, so I want the guy to succeed, but also to judge an offensive coordinator who has to operate with a quarterback who can't throw the football. Not an easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You become a little one-dimensional, and it's very easy as a defensive coordinator to game plan against them. So now to have the balance, hopefully, of some of your backs are back, your offensive line has been reliable for a long time, it feels like, and weapons, like, you should be a balanced offense this year, which is going to make stopping you far more difficult. And look, again, you can laugh at the spring football take. I can't wait to see what Malik Murphy looks like. I know it's not a spring game. I know they do weird, like, hey, 2 points for a punt stuff, and that's a little strange to me, and not that many people go, and then we get to have that whole debate of, why aren't people at Oregon State spring game, and why? And then that whole debate will ensue. Seeing what the offense looks like, seeing how Malik Murphy looks, and what his timing is like with those top wide receivers is going to be one of the more interesting storylines to me of spring football.
Who are the top 10 college football coaches, according to you? We'll get to that coming up on the show, but coming up next is the Daily Ticker, and we talk some more college football. The SP Plus early peekaboo is out from one Bill Conley, and he believes he's fixed the playoff problem. So we'll talk with Bill Conley for the Daily Ticker coming up next. Don't forget to share your thoughts at the fan text line at 503-864-6326. We've got the FUP date at 8:30, and we've got a status story at 8:15. But we're back with Bill Conley of ESPN College Football next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is powered by Pelican Brewing, your local coastal brewery. Independently brewing since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Hi, Daily Ticker time, brought to you as always by our good friends at Pelican Brewing, now offering their new Beak Breaker Hazy Double IPA. Crack open a can and enjoy the taste of victory. It's going to be nice at the beach this weekend. Good weekend to head on over. Let's talk some college football, because it's never a bad time to talk college football. Bill Connolly is our guest now. One of our favorites, at ESPN underscore Bill C on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there. The author of the S&P Plus model. Bill, good morning to you. You have a way to fix the college football playoff, which has become one of the most debated things year in and year out in the sport. How does Bill Connolly and the S&P Plus model feel about fixing the playoff format?
Well, I think, well, number one, we don't have to fix anything. 12 worked pretty well. It was pretty fun. You know, it cut everybody off at, you know, if you have two unforgivable losses, then you don't get in. That worked. Not that I would do that every year, but I kind of liked 12. It's clear we're going to fix, keep expanding, and, you know, it is what it is. And if we're going to do so, then, yeah, I wrote a piece for Monday that looked into, okay, if we have to do this, you know, number one, 14 is stupid. 14 is a stopgap, and 14 is just designed to give the Big Ten and SEC buys. Just go to 16 if we're going to do it. Just 16 works for every other sport, so just go straight there. I would add an extra conference champion, number one, because I always look to add extra conference champions, and number two, because, you know, that would mean that the number one seed gets a kind of an easier matchup. It's kind of a win-win in that regard. It would still be a reward. Oregon would have played Army this year in a 16-team playoff instead of Clemson, and that would have been, you know, a solid difference. And the other major thing I kind of wanted in that piece was just an opportunity to point and laugh at the 4-4-2-2-1-1 everybody gets automatic spots in advance system that is so silly and so ridiculous and so overthought, and looks like it's going to happen, but I'm going to make fun of it constantly.
So my co-host would disagree with that take. He believes these conferences should be guaranteed automatic bids. I liked your piece of just like, you're probably going to make it anyway, but like, why do you need to cry and moan to have guaranteed spots? Let's just let it play out. Why do you feel the way that you do? If somebody feels that the SEC and the Big Ten are the best conferences, they should get this. Why do you feel the opposite?
They will get this. They'll probably average about four. And so why are we going out of the way to look like we're rigging a system that will work out just fine anyway? I know why. They want play-in games and a new spectacular Saturday where they can have, you know, Iowa steal a bid from Indiana or whatever and, you know, negate a good portion of the regular season in a way that the 12-team playoff was supposed to, but really didn't. It just goes against everything I stand for. We're going to let this play out and you'll probably get about four teams. If we expand to 16, SEC is probably going to get five more often than not. Mm-hmm. So stop mandating it. Just let it happen and stop looking like you're rigging the system. You've already rigged the money. You're going to get the money regardless. Let's just let this play out and it will. It would work just fine in their favor. They've got most of the brands and instead they're going to rig it even further.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, that's kind of my argument as well, is that they're going to get him anyway, so that's why I wasn't that upset about it. But the optics of it, I do agree with you, Bill. They don't look good to the other conferences. Bill Connolly is our guest, S&P Plus, national college football writer for ESPN, at ESPN underscore Bill C on Twitter, where you can go give him a follow. You know, there was the idea out there, Bill, and my team ran into it in the playoff, where Ohio State seemed like, going into the season, they're the most talented team in the country. Nobody can touch them top to bottom depth-wise. And then they had kind of a weird regular season. Oregon beats them in Autzen, and then the shocking loss to Michigan. And I think for a moment there, we kind of forgot, like, damn, there's a lot of NFL talent on this team. And then they showed us in the playoffs. I've heard the argument made that that's the last of a dying breed because of the transfer portal, the amount of money the teams have to spend, that you're just not going to see a team with that much, you know, collected talent anymore. What does the S&P Plus model show us for next year in terms of, is there one team that's head and shoulders above everybody else, like maybe Ohio State was, or is it more of an even playing field?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for the most even possible playing field. I do think there are signs of, you know, even in the projections of where, you know, because of the way talent is distributed a little more, Ohio State's not going to be less talented, but just other teams are going to be more talented because they can pick up four-star backups that they didn't have before. Like, even UMass last year had a lot of, like, former high three-star guys on their roster. That never happened before, and it didn't even help them because everybody else was more talented too, I guess, and they still weren't very good. But it does, like, there's an obvious redistribution effect. And I think if nothing else, that I think that might close the gap between, say, like the number two team and the number 15 team in the country, which if you want a good playoff and a good playoff race, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
We're doing it at the expense of the G5 and the Big Sky and all these other conferences that are just kind of stopping points as talent moves upward. As I wrote in a piece a couple of weeks ago, like, we either care about that or we don't. Right now, we don't. I kind of wish we did, but it's obvious we don't right now. But I guess the plus is it's not that they're all gravitating towards just Ohio State. They're gravitating towards a bunch of good teams, and that could make for, you know, a little bit more distribution at the top, I guess.
So looking at your SP Plus early peekaboo here, you've got Oregon at six. They're just ahead of Texas and right behind Notre Dame. Offensively, they're third in the nation, according to the offensive SP Plus. But they're 15th defensively. I have a lot of questions about their quarterback. They're not going to have a 25-year-old starting quarterback anymore. They finally get off the Bo Nix, Dylan Gabriel train. Dante Moore is going to be at the reins for Oregon this year. Your early thoughts of having a Dante Moore and a non-like 23-year-old experienced guy at the helm, and just defensively what those numbers are suggesting for Oregon going into next year?
Yeah, until I kind of laid out their roster, it hadn't really hit me just how much Oregon lost defensively. In my head, it was basically lose your quarterback, but return a good portion of the rest of the roster. That's kind of true on offense. They're returning production numbers, especially with, you know, bringing in three different, not only three transfer offensive linemen, but experienced transfer linemen, guys who got all conference votes in the Big Ten and Mountain West and Sun Belt last year. You know, that's a really nice step. That should work out pretty well for them. Getting Hughes from Tulane, a running back, you know, you lose your 1,200-yard rusher and bring in a 1,400-yard rusher, that works pretty well. You know, aside from quarterback, the offense looks pretty set. You know, aside from quarterback, that's kind of an important position. And, you know, SP Plus just kind of like shrugs its shoulders at that, I guess. It doesn't really know what to make of it. Like, recent history suggests Oregon will have a good quarterback, but obviously everyone's different. Defense really did concern me, though. I mean, you're talking about like losing four of the top five linemen from last year, like what, one, two, three, like eight of the top nine DBs or something like that. Obviously transfers are coming in, but yeah, that seems to be where the biggest concern is right now. That's a lot to lose from a good defense, especially a good pass defense. And that'll be the biggest. Obviously, quarterback will get the headlines, and obviously, quarterback's important, but the defense might be the bigger concern.
Interesting. Bill, earlier we were talking about Malik Murphy. We got our first glimpse of him at Oregon State as they opened spring practice, and that was one of the bigger surprises to me of the offseason in terms of the portal of, like, damn, that's a starting quarterback in the ACC transferring to Oregon State. I know you've come on the show many times and talked about Oregon State and Washington State. You've done some great reporting on teams in the past who have been left behind by their conference and what their future has looked like. I'm curious what your reaction was to that, and Oregon State was so limited at that position last year. How does that change maybe the offensive outlook for the Beavs this season?
Well, Duke as a whole was such a hard offense to figure out last year. Like, Murphy wasn't very good, but he also had absolutely no run game to work with whatsoever. So basically, anytime he was throwing, it was 3rd and 8. Yeah. And so his numbers were okay. He was like right around 50 in total QBR, like right in the middle of the pack, basically. But, you know, he doesn't take a lot of sacks. He can be. We saw at Texas at least a little bit. He can run a little bit. Wasn't asked to run at all at Duke. So it'll be really interesting just to see what kind of fit that is. I do think just kind of glancing, there's a lot of high three or former four-star recruits on that offense. So, you know, it, really the defense isn't all that bad shape from a recruiting standpoint ever. So you could say that, you know, this is still kind of at least a low power conference kind of roster. And obviously, you know, wasn't very good last year. So we'll see what they can change. The run game, obviously, you know, Hankerson's back, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, he was probably the steadiest player there. Most of the receiving core is back, or almost all of the receiving core is back. And so that all looks pretty good, but we just get to find out what Murphy is really capable of. And I guess, you know, he'll be doing it in front of a relatively new offensive line.
I asked you to come on the show, and in the text I threw at you the top 10 coaches of SP Plus. Now I felt kind of bad because, like, you're coming on just out of the goodness of your heart.
Let's give you more work on top of
it. And I'm like, he's following soccer for ESPN. He's doing great college football work. Were you able to do this, or do you have a relative idea of what a top 10 SP Plus, the coaching list, would look like?
Well, so I probably overthought about it a little bit. Maybe I'll turn this into a piece at some point.
Yes.
But, so I've been playing with a lot of coaches.
Can we get a shout out of that piece?
Shout out to my guys attending the fan who were the
fired by.
Yes.
So I've been playing with a lot of coaching change data of late, and I've found that, you know, for future SP Plus projections, I might be able to. I don't have coaching changes in there because I've never found a good way to do it. But I'm starting to learn that if you compare like last year's performance to say a 20-year history for that school, big, you know, significant amount of history. Like if you were way above last year or your normal performance last year, and then you lost your coach, that probably means that's a bad thing, and you're going to fall back to the pack a little bit. If you underachieved dramatically versus that 20-year history and changed coaches, that probably means very good things. And there might be something to that. So when you ask that question, I was kind of thinking in those terms, like, who overachieves against like that school's history the most? Because I mean, obviously, you can say that the you know, Kirby Smart's one of the best coaches in college football. He is, and Georgia's overachieved some, but not, you know, massively. Georgia's always supposed to be pretty good. So over the last 15 years, here are the coaches who have overachieved the most compared to that bar of recent history. Well, Rhett Lashley is number one, but he's only got a 3-year sample to work with, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Art Briles is number two. We're going to ignore that entirely.
thank you.
But if you look at guys with at least like a 5 or 10 year history, number one was Chris Peterson. I'd say that's a pretty good endorsement of the measure.
Yeah.
Number two was Nick Saban, also a good endorsement. and then you know, funny enough, Bobby Petrino is pretty high on that list. But you keep going down, and you know, David Cutcliffe's up there. Willie Fritz is pretty high on that list, despite last year's struggles. Yep. So I think this is not too bad. Gary Patterson's up there. Ken Niumatalolo's up there, which, first of all, he did a heck of a job at San Jose this past season. So, yeah, I don't think it has necessarily any surprises, but I think this might be a fun way to evaluate it. And one of the guys that might be relevant for 2025 is Dan Mullen, is pretty high on the list as well. And UNLV is the school that overachieved against its 20-year history the absolute most last year and would be projected to just fall off the face of the earth if I was to incorporate this in SP Plus. But Dan Mullen's a pretty good coach, so maybe that offsets it.
Yeah, that was one of the rare occurrences where a small school lost a coach and you're like, did they upgrade in that process? They might have. Dan Mullen's had a great career, to your point. He was doing good at ESPN as well. Bill Connolly, we look forward to the piece ranking the top 10 S&P Plus coaches. Shout out 1080 The Fan and at, you know, Dirt and Sprague in that piece. Make sure it's in that first paragraph. He is the author of the S&P Plus. Go give him a follow on Twitter. He's the best in the biz. At ESPN underscore Bill C. We always enjoy the time, man. Hopefully we can do this again soon.
Absolutely.
There you go. Bill Connolly talking some college football.
I'm very much looking forward to that piece of looking at the models and who's overperforming based on 20-plus years. The S&P Plus isn't perfect.
No.
But it is a good snapshot of what maybe your team could be looking at going into the season.
Yes, it is. He has Oregon sick, to your point, very high offensively with the question mark of quarterback, a little bit less defensively, but, you know, a lot of new faces. We'll see how it all plays out. Let's get to R. Top 10 coaches in college football.
Are you going to take the SP Plus? Or?
I'm going to take the Dirt Plus. I'm going to give you the Dirt Plus model top 10 coaches. Because I think there's two different ways to think about this. Also, one analyst says this guy's a top 10 coach, and that's what sparked this entire conversation. That is next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you as always by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We got a lot to get to.
Your body's looking svelte.
You got to look svelte, man. Summertime, it's beach body weather time.
Are you maxing out? What are we doing here?
Cardio.
Pilates is cardio.
Cardio, stretching, and lower back exercises, because I got to pick up a 25-bag of sand every day, all day. So,
yeah,
trying to keep the lower back in shape from going out, from picking up the little guy.
Your kid's a 25-pound bag of sand?
He's a 25-bag bag. You throw him over the shoulder, just hope you can get him out of the house, you know? Hopefully it doesn't spill anywhere.
I had to school Chuck Hall on the importance of weightlifting at an older age. I said, you know, people don't think about this, but any type of training with weights included, and Crunch certainly has their... amount of weights that are all over, whether that cable or free weights.
Yes, they do.
People by 70 start to understand, oh, that was important.
Probably should have done that earlier in life.
Yeah.
Just throw some heavy weights around.
Yeah.
It's good for you, man. We do have a status story coming up at 8:15. We have a FUPDATE coming up. We're not going to get to our top 10 coaches here because we're against it, but I want to set up the segment with this.
I'm fascinated to see how different ours are.
So here's the question that I have for you.
Okay.
As I tease the next segment in this segment, that's why they call me a radio professional.
They call you Teaser Dirt.
If I ask you the top 10 coaches in college football. Mm-hmm. Do you go with accomplishments? Because that to me is a different list than who do you think the 10 best coaches are right now. This is where the debate is interesting to me, right? Like, if let's do a fun fantasy draft, right? You're an athletic director. You have the first overall pick, then they second, right? And you go that way. Mm-hmm. I feel like those 10 names would be different than the 10 names if I asked you the 10 best coaches with the pedigree. Because if I ask you the 10 best coaches with the resume and pedigree, Dabo Swinney has to be number two on that list, does he not? He's got two national championships. But would anybody rank Dabo as a top five coach in college football right now?
No, but he's on my list.
But he could be on your list. So that's where this comes from.
Just won his conference.
He did. Well, he did. Yeah, you know.
No, he did. Like,
he did.
Yeah,
I know. He did.
He won the game.
Yeah, it's ACC, you know. Here is Josh Pate. So this all stemmed from a Josh Pate bit where people were arguing with him about Brian Kelly. Is Brian Kelly a top 10 coach in college football? Here's Pate.
So I asked, what's Brian Kelly rated? And they were like, well, he's not a top 10 head coach. And I said, oh, really? In terms of what? Height? What are we talking about? Because certainly resume-wise, Brian Kelly is not only in the top 10, he's solidly in the top 10, or so I thought. Mm. But he hasn't won the big one. That's what they told me. Brian Kelly hadn't won the big one. We got 8 active head coaches with a playoff win. Forget about championship wins. We only got 8 of them in college football who have won a playoff game. We got 3 of them who have won national championships. So to say this guy's not a top 10 active head coach, because he hasn't won the big one makes me respond with, what in the world's the big one?
That, by the way, is a fascinating stat. The college football playoff expanded with these play. They've been around since 2014. It's 11 years. There's only 8 guys actively with the playoff win.
Yeah.
With Saban retiring and Harbaugh.
It was
much harder, right? And it was Saban won a lot of those games and all that kind of stuff. So who are your top 10 coaches? We'll give you our top 10 to start the final hour. Stat or story coming up at 8:15. If updated at 8:30, it's a loaded final hour. The Blazers are back in action tonight. Can they take down the mighty Celtics? Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.